Chapter 11. One of the most painful meetings we witnessed was between a woman's ghost and a bright spirit who had apparently been her brother. They must have met only a moment before we ran across them, for the ghost was just saying in a tone of unconcealed disappointment, "Oh, Reginald, it's you, is it?" "Yes, dear," said the spirit. "I know you expected someone else. Can you... I hope you can be a little glad to see even me for the present."
"I did think Michael would have come," said the ghost,
and then almost fiercely,
"He is here, of course."
"He's there, far up in the mountains."
"Why hasn't he come to meet me? Didn't he know?"
"My dear, don't worry. It will all come right presently. It wouldn't have done, not yet. He wouldn't be able to see or hear you as you are at present. You'd be totally invisible to Michael, but we'll soon build you up."
"I should have thought if you can see me, my own son could."
"It doesn't always happen like that. You see, I have specialized in this sort of work."
"Oh, it's work, is it?" snapped the ghost.
Then, after a pause,
"Well, when am I going to be allowed to see him?"
"There's no question of being allowed, Pam. As soon as it's possible for him to see you, of course he will. You need to be thickened up a bit."
"How?" said the ghost.
The monosyllable was hard and a little threatening. "I'm afraid the first step is a hard one," said the spirit. "But after that you'll go on like a house on fire. You will become solid enough for Michael to perceive you when you learn to want someone else besides Michael. I don't say more than Michael, not as a beginning. That will come later. It's only the little germ of a desire for God that we need to start the process."
"Oh, you mean religion and all that sort of thing? This is hardly the moment. And from you, of all people. Well, never mind. I'll do whatever's necessary. What do you want me to do? Come on. The sooner I begin it, the sooner they'll let me see my boy. I'm quite ready."
"But, Pam, do think. Don't you see you are not beginning at all as long as you are in that state of mind? You're treating God only as a means to Michael. But the whole thickening treatment consists in learning to want God for his own sake."
"You wouldn't talk like that if you were a mother."
"You mean if I were only a mother? But there is no such thing as being only a mother. You exist as Michael's mother only because you first exist as God's creature. That relation is older and closer. No, listen, Pam. He also loves. He also has suffered. He also has waited a long time."
"If he loved me, he'd let me see my boy. If he loved me, why did he take away Michael from me? I wasn't going to say anything about that, but it's pretty hard to forgive, you know."
"But he had to take Michael away, partly for Michael's sake."
"I'm sure I did my best to make Michael happy. I gave up my whole life."
"Human beings can't make one another really happy for long. And secondly, for your sake. He wanted your merely instinctive love for your child. Tigresses share that, you know. To turn into something better. He wanted you to love Michael as he understands love. You cannot love a fellow creature fully till you love God. Sometimes this conversion can be done while the instinctive love is still gratified. But there was, it seems, no chance of that in your case. The instinct was uncontrolled and fierce and monomaniac. Ask your daughter or your husband. Ask your own mother. You haven't once thought of her. The only remedy was to take away its object. It was a case for surgery. When that first kind of love was thwarted, then there was just a chance that in the loneliness, in the silence, something else might begin to grow."
"This is all nonsense, cruel and wicked nonsense. What right have you to say things like that about mother love? It is the highest and holiest feeling in human nature."
"Pam, Pam, no natural feelings are high or low, holy or unholy in themselves. They are all holy when God's hand is on the rein. They all go bad when they set up on their own and make themselves into false gods."
"My love for Michael would never have gone bad, not if we'd lived together for millions of years."
"You are mistaken, and you must know. Haven't you met, down there, mothers who have their sons with them in hell? Does their love make them happy?"
"If you mean people like the Guthrie woman and her dreadful Bobby, of course not. I hope you're not suggesting... If I had Michael, I'd be perfectly happy, even in that town. I wouldn't be always talking about him till everyone hated the sound of his name, which is what Winifred Guthrie does about her brat. I wouldn't quarrel with people for not taking enough notice of him and then be furiously jealous if they did. I wouldn't go about whining and complaining that he wasn't nice to me, because, of course, he would be nice. Don't you dare to suggest that Michael could ever become like the Guthrie boy. There are some things I won't stand.
What you have seen in the Guthries is what natural affection turns to in the end, if it will not be converted.
It's a lie, a wicked, cruel lie. How could anyone love their son more than I did? Haven't I lived only for his memory all these years?
That was rather a mistake, Pam. In your heart of hearts, you know it was.
What was a mistake?
All that 10 years ritual of grief, keeping his room exactly as he'd left it, keeping anniversaries, refusing to leave that house, though Dick and Muriel were both wretched there.
Of course they didn't care. I know that. I soon learned to expect no real sympathy from them.
You're wrong. No man ever felt his son's death more than Dick. Not many girls loved their brothers better than Muriel. It wasn't against Michael they revolted. It was against you. Against having their whole life dominated by the tyranny of the past, and not really even Michael's past, but your past.
You are heartless. Everyone is heartless. The past was all I had.
It was all you chose to have. It was the wrong way to deal with a sorrow. It was Egyptian, like embalming a dead body.
Of course I'm wrong. Everything I say or do is wrong, according to you.
But of course, said the spirit, shining with love and mirth, so that my eyes were dazzled. That's what we all find when we reach this country. We've all been wrong. That's the great joke. There's no need to go on pretending one was right. After that, we begin living.
How dare you laugh about it? Give me my boy, do you hear? I don't care about all your rules and regulations. I don't believe in a God who keeps mother and son apart. I believe in a God of love. No one has a right to come between me and my son. Not even God. Tell him that to his face. I want my boy, and I mean to have him. He is mine, do you understand? Mine, mine, mine. Forever and ever.
He will be, Pam. Everything will be yours. God himself will be yours. But not that way. Nothing can be yours by nature.
What? Not my own son, born out of my own body?
And where is your own body now? Didn't you know that nature draws to an end? Look, the sun is coming, over the mountains there. It will be up any moment now.
Michael is mine.
How, yours? You didn't make him. Nature made him to grow in your body without your will, even against your will. You sometimes forget that you didn't intend to have a baby then at all. Michael was originally an accident.
Who told you that?
Said the ghost, and then, recovering itself,
it's a lie. It's not true, and it's no business of yours. I hate your religion, and I hate and despise your God. I believe in a God of love.
And yet, Pam, you have no love at this moment for your own mother, or for me.
Oh, I see. That's the trouble, is it? Really, Reginald, the idea of your being hurt because...
Lord love you, said the spirit with a great laugh. You needn't bother about that. Don't you know that you can't hurt anyone in this country? The ghost was silent and open-mouthed for a moment, more wilted, I thought, by this reassurance than by anything else that had been said.
"Come, we will go a bit further," said my teacher, laying his hand on my arm.